So, Dave Leventhal, let's start off with you. What did you see this week that you thought was done well?
Well, there was a delightfully spooky story on the last page of The Economist. And if you're not familiar with the last page of The Economist, it's always an obituary, very appropriate given the day. This one was about Irwin Schiff, a man who I guess you could call a quintessential American story. He was a tax protester, lived an incredibly colorful life. If you don't know his story, you should definitely read it in The Economist. It's quite a bizarre tale of how he rose to prominence and became, to some, a complete rogue and to others, a hero, based on the fact that he just decided he was never going to pay his federal taxes for decades on end. I can't give kudos to an exact author because The Economist do not sign their most of their articles,
right.
But kudos to them nonetheless for producing what was a fascinating read and week in and week out, one of the more interesting articles you're ever going to find in a magazine or a publication.
All right. Well, we'll find that one online. Hopefully it's online, and we'll put a link at yourcallradio.org. That's Dave Leventhal, senior political reporter with the Center for Public Integrity. And what about you, Paul Blumenthal? What did you see this week that you thought was done well?
I guess the story that I'm going to share is not exactly from this week, but I think it's from last week. It's a story from my colleague here at Huffington Post, Dave Jamieson, who covers the labor beat. And it's called The Life and Death of an Amazon Warehouse Temp. And it's really about a temporary worker in an Amazon warehouse in Virginia who died while working a shift. And tells the story of both his life, his death, and the conditions in warehouses that, you know, will ship you within 24 hours those late Christmas presents that you haven't picked out yet. I think it really cuts to the heart of what low-wage work is like in America these days and what people who are sort of on the cusp of having a full-time job, people who, you know, don't make it all the way through high school or just have a high school education in some of these suburban and exurban areas, the kind of work that's available for them.
This is a pretty long story. And over the years, the treatment of Amazon workers has gotten a lot of coverage. In fact, the LA Times had a piece recently about workers who are hoping to file a class action lawsuit. These are the workers who actually drive for the Amazon Prime service. And because they're contractors, they say that after they pay for their own gas and their bridge toll, they're making about $9 an hour, and every single minute is calculated and watched very closely.
Yeah, and that's the same with their warehouse temps who, you know, work in these giant buildings picking out, you know, which product to put in a box to get to you within 24 hours. You know, their time is clocked, how many products they're able to ship, how quickly they move through the warehouse is all clocked and managed, and pretty much all of it, the temporary workers are done through, you know, temporary outsource firms like Insperity. I think that there's another case heading before the Supreme Court of Amazon workers who are suing one of these temporary working outsourcing contracting firms instead of Amazon, because that's who actually hires them.
And just quickly, Paul, has anything changed as a result of all of this reporting over the past couple of years?
I'm not entirely sure if anything has particularly changed. I think that there's a lot of attention to it. I mean, there was attention to Amazon's treatment of its white-collar workers, too, in a recent New York Times article
right,
as well.
Right. Okay, so kudos to Dave Jamieson, who wrote the piece, The Life and Death of an Amazon Warehouse Temp. Thank you for that. That's Paul Blumenthal. He's a reporter with the Huffington Post. And what about you, Hannah? What did you see this week that you thought was done well?
Well, so there's no shortage of stories about the atrocities committed by the Islamic State extremist group and its territories in Iraq and Syria. And a subgenre of that has been the enslavement of especially women, especially Yazidi Christian minority women. And a lot of that coverage has been, I feel rather sensational. You hear a lot about jihadi brides, sex slaves, and to me that sort of dilutes the horror of what these women are experiencing. So there was a story just this week, maybe even just today, on the Daily Beast that I feel goes against the grain, and it's called The Portraits of the Yazidi Women Who Escaped ISIS. It's by a photographer, actually, Sevan Saliam, who covers the north of Iraq for the AP, and works with Metrography, which is Iraq's first and only independent photo agency. And so she was able to interview a lot of these Yazidi women, took really haunting portraits of them. And so in its sparse treatment, just the portrait and the woman's own words without any sort of embellishment or other bells and whistles, to me it was stark, it was haunting, and powerful, even in a crowded field of such stories.
What did you learn about these women? I mean, there have been a lot of articles, as you've said, that have felt rather sensational about how women are treated. But what was it about this piece that stood out, and what stood out for you in the interviews that she did with the women?
Two things. The first is that, absolute resilience and courage of some very young women. I mean, we're talking teenagers. And the fact that they fought from the moment they were captured, in most cases, smearing dirt on their face and not washing to make themselves as least attractive as possible to their captors, conniving at all moments on how to escape, how to get away from these people, and how to bring as many people with them. So there was that, just the human resilience. And then also, you get this sense from the interviews, an underreported factor, which is that ordinary people living under ISIS rule helped the women escape in almost every single case. And so it was a Kurdish family, a taxi driver who, she broke free, jumps in the taxi and says, "Please, please, I'm escaping slavery." And he said, "I'll help you." Mm-hmm. And these are people who risk their own lives to help these women. In one case, it was the wife of the ISIS slave holder who took pity on the girl and helped her escape. So that, the unsung people who are still trying to retain a sense of decency and really the vilest of circumstances, that really stood out.
Where do most of these girls live?
Well, now they've escaped either in, Kurdish, the Kurdish north near Erbil.
Well, so kudos to this photographer, Sevan Salim. Again, this is the Yazidi women who escaped ISIS. And that is Hana Alam. She's a foreign affairs reporter with McClatchy Newspapers.